and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. Let's enjoy a few laughs this week with Father Knows Best. After World War II, Americans could hardly wait to settle down and start families. This sitcom, which went on to become a popular television show that is still seen in reruns, was a reflection of the American optimism about raising their families after World War II. In reality, many women had to work to make ends meet, even in the 50s. But in this sitcom, the ideal is a stay-at-home mother. What is the family going to do if Margaret decides to look for work outside the home? This is Father Knows Best, Should Women Work? First broadcast September 25th, 1952 on NBC.
Mother, why did Daddy switch to Postum?
Your father says there's no caffeine in Postum. Nothing to spoil your sleep. And your father knows best.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as Father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons. Brought to you by Instant Postum, the good-tasting drink that's entirely caffeine-free, and by Post's 40% Bran Flakes, America's largest-selling Bran Flakes. Oliver Wendell Holmes once described home as a place that our feet may leave, but not our hearts. And for once in the white frame house on Maple Street, none of the feet are leaving and all of the hearts are there. Margaret is absorbed in reading. Kathy is spread-eagled on the floor with her comic books. Betty is studying a fashion magazine. And Bud is busily munching an apple and a banana, both at the same time. Jim is contemplating his son with wonder. Like this.
Bud?
Yes, Dad?
How do you do it?
Do what?
You just got up from a big dinner. Meat, potatoes, vegetables, and a big piece of pie.
He had two pieces, not counting the one he ate in the kitchen.
Oh, so that's where the rest of the pie went.
Isn't that where the rest of any food goes around here? Margaret, is he normal?
That's good, dear.
Well, now, there's a real intelligent answer.
Yes, dear.
Kitten, would you mind peering over your mother's shoulder and see what she's reading?
She's reading a magazine.
I know that. Margaret, what are you reading that's so fascinating?
Of course, dear.
Well, that clears up everything.
If you really want to know, Father, she's doing some research on happy marriages.
What's she reading that junk for?
You wouldn't understand, dopey.
Dear, may I borrow your pencil?
Oh, so you are here.
Here? Why, of course. What's the matter?
Margaret, we've been talking about you. Weren't you listening?
No. Should I have been?
Mommy, aren't you happy married to Daddy?
Why, Angel, where did you ever get such an idea?
Well...
Honey, what's this sudden interest in matrimonial problems?
Mother is just looking up the reasons why some marriages are happy and others aren't. Some women have a spiritual contentment, an inner radiance. You can see they're not only happy outside, but happy inside.
I'm hungry.
But...
Well, I'm not happy inside.
You're not a woman either.
Thank goodness for small favors. Margaret, just what is this research you're doing on happy marriages?
Oh, it's such fun, Jim. I don't know when I've enjoyed anything as much. I've been reading a survey on complaints of wives.
Complaints? What kind of complaints do these lovely ladies make, Margaret?
Well, listen to this. Very few women complain about the big things. It's the small, irritating habits of their husbands that annoy them most. Like not shaving on weekends. 75% of wives object to their husbands' beards.
You find that amusing?
Of course. I know just how they feel.
Well, it strikes me that if the only complaint a woman has is her husband's refusal to shave on weekends, she's a very lucky woman.
You're right, dear. I only meant...
Why don't you shave on weekends, Father?
Me? How did I get in on this?
What's wrong with shaving? I think it would be fun.
Ralph's father always shaves every single day, and he looks simply marvelous.
Just the same, I imagine it is a nuisance to shave every single day. And I don't blame your father for getting careless now and then.
Yes, I... Careless? Me?
Well, aren't you? When I get married, I'll expect my husband to shave every single morning and twice on Sundays.
Fine, Betty. We'll keep your room ready so you can come back home and live with us.
Well, I don't see why. If a man cares enough, he'll try to keep attractive for his wife.
I believe your mother finds me attractive.
Of course I do. Your father doesn't look that bad with a beard.
Well, thank you. I think.
I don't see why you're all picking on Daddy. I heard Mr. Johnson say he'd like to wear old dirty slacks around the yard like Daddy does because he looks so comfortable.
What?
So there.
So where? I'm not sure I like your defense, kitten.
It seems to me we're making a big fuss over a very little thing.
But, Mother, you said it's the little things that irritate women.
Well, yes, but let's be reasonable. You know, there are a lot of amusing things in this article. Why don't you read it, Jim?
Read it out loud, Daddy. This is fun.
Isn't it? Ha ha. Well, let's see what else it has to say. I quote, "Another complaint of the majority of women is the fact that men forget romance once they're married. Now and then, they'd like to have their husband bring home some flowers." Oh, for heaven's sake, Margaret, do you really enjoy this sort of thing?
Daddy, why don't you bring flowers home to Mommy ever?
Oh, dear, this is getting out of hand. Let's change the subject.
On the contrary, I'm beginning to understand your fascination for it. Oh, I'll get it. It's probably for me.
I'm going out and get something to eat.
Mother, did you see how red Father was getting?
I guess we were kind of mean. But it was fun teasing him a little.
Are you almost through with your speech, Mother?
Not quite, dear. I still have to make more notes on it. But I find I can get most of my information from this book. See? Careers for Married Women.
I wonder why the Professional Women's Club chose you to make a speech on careers for housewives. You're not a businesswoman.
They just want the housewife's point of view. You see, it will be sort of a debate. Mrs. Stuyvesant is going to speak for careers for married women, and I'm to speak against it. I think I'll enjoy it.
Hmm. I wonder how Father would feel if you ever decided to go to work.
He wouldn't be able to stand it, I know.
Margaret, have you seen my appointment book?
It's upstairs, dear. I'll get it.
I wonder if Daddy was really getting worried.
Well, let him worry. It's good for a man sometimes.
Never mind the appointment book, honey. I don't...
She's upstairs looking for it, Father.
Nothing to eat in the whole darn house.
You know, we never did find out why your mother's doing this research on happy marriages.
Maybe she's trying to make you happier.
She couldn't.
Mommy's been working on that for a week, Daddy. She made a lot of notes out of this book.
What book? Let me see that. Careers for Married Women. Careers?
Gosh, you don't think Mom wants to work, do you, Dad?
Oh, don't be foolish, son. She's probably reading it because... Well, because... Well, just for her own amusement.
You think it's funny?
Well, you know how it is. Women sometimes have a strange sense of humor. Let's read some of this and see. Let's see. Would you like to be a consultant? A counselor? A personnel manager? Married women are particularly suited for these positions because of their knowledge of people.
You gotta be married to know people?
Look at this one, Daddy. Would you like to be a model mother?
There, you see. If there's one ambition your mother has, it's to be a model mother.
You mean she wants to pose for fashion magazines?
Who, your mother? Let me look at that again, Kathy. If you look gracious and wear clothes well, there is a demand for your type in the fashion world.
Holy cow. Mom wears clothes real good.
Yes, doesn't she? Margaret! Margaret!
What is it, dear?
What's all this about your becoming a fashion model?
A fashion model? What on earth?
Gosh, Mom, you're not going to get your picture in those fancy magazines, are you?
Why, I wouldn't think of...
You wouldn't go to work and leave us, would you, Mommy? Besides, you can't be a model. You're too old.
Too old?
Now, just a minute, kitten. Your mother and I may be older than you are, but we don't go back that many generations.
I didn't mean you were real old. I only meant you...
Yes, go on.
Well, golly, I think Mommy's beautiful. But isn't she too big to be a model?
Big? She doesn't mean big.
Well, what does she mean?
Oh, round, maybe.
Round?
Oh, dear, they're such children. So inept at explaining things. What they mean, Mother, is that you're too mature to be a model, that's all.
Now, just a minute. I resent all this. For your information, your mother is just about one of the best-looking women in our crowd. In the whole neighborhood, in fact.
Well, thank you, dear. I was beginning to feel a little ancient.
Me too. And when they make better-looking women than your mother, I want to know about it.
What for?
Model, are you, Mommy?
Angel, I don't know where you get that.
She certainly isn't.
Jim, I had no intention...
A woman belongs in her home. It's her job to take care of her family and do it well.
Oh, I think I do that, Jim.
And you'll go right on doing it.
Well, is that an order?
My wife will never go to work if I have anything to say about it.
Well, really? Jim, I've never gone against your wishes... But when you begin to think of me as something as unromantic as a kitchen stove, then it's time I did something about it.
You mean you're going to go to work?
Oh, Mother, you know you're not going to. You told me you were going to make a speech against...
It's a woman's privilege to change her mind, and I intend to exercise my privilege.
Margaret, I forbid it.
You what?
I mean, now, honey, be reasonable. You really are too old to be a model, you know.
That does it. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to look into the possibilities of becoming a fashion model.
Oh, no.
Now look what you did, Dad.
And if it's the last thing I do, Jim Anderson, I'll make you eat those words.
Eat? That reminds me. I'm not happy inside.
Neither am I, Bud. Neither am I. Poor Bud, poor Jim. They're not happy inside. Maybe they both need a little inside advice, like the kind Ed Prentice has for all of us right now.
Ever find yourself cross and nervous, flying off the handle easily? It often happens when you don't get a good night's sleep, doesn't it? Well, you're not sleeping at night may come from the caffeine in coffee and tea. In that case, drinking Postum is the answer for you. Because Instant Postum doesn't have a single bit of caffeine in it. Absolutely none. Nothing to give you coffee nerves or ruin your sleep. Now, that's important because caffeine is a drug, a nerve stimulant that may leave you too nervous and upset to sleep properly. Of course, lots of people can take coffee and tea without being bothered, but lots of others can't. So if you're one who can't, switch to caffeine-free Postum now. Then see whether you aren't sleeping better, feeling and looking better, too. And say, why don't you give the kids Postum? They can drink it as often as they want. Nothing in Postum to harm them. And it's mighty good tasting. Perfect for the whole family. Try a jar of Instant Postum tomorrow.
Well, life in the Anderson family has become a thing of beauty, but not a joy forever. Margaret has become the thing of beauty, but the thing that is not a joy is Jim Anderson, who is convinced that Margaret is seeking a career as a fashion model and now doesn't know how to stop her. After some heavy thinking, Jim decides that maybe life in the white frame house on Maple Street has become a little dull for Margaret. So he decides to romance her. Like this.
Margaret! I'm home.
I'll be down in a few minutes, dear.
Take your time, honey. Take your time. Bud. Kathy. Princess, where are you all?
Here in the kitchen, Daddy. Come on in.
Oh, hi, Dad.
Hello, Father. Sit down if you can find a clear place.
Well, that's about the most enthusiastic greeting I've had in years. Why all the long, long faces?
Well, Mother's so changed since she's gone in for that modeling career that we hardly know her.
Well, don't all be so gloomy. I'm sure I can change all that.
You can, Daddy? Oh, I knew you'd think of something.
You just leave things to your father. I understand your mother thoroughly. Wait till you see what I brought her tonight. 2 dozen gorgeous red roses.
Holy cow, you can't eat roses.
Son, you're missing the point entirely.
What is the point, Father?
Well, your mother was finding things a little dull, so she probably yearns for romance, excitement. Sort of like the old days before you children were born.
Gee, do you remember that far back, Daddy?
Well, it's a strain, but I manage it. Don't you see? If I start bringing roses to your mother and, oh, sort of showing her special attentions, she'll melt like a honey cake in the sun. How could she possibly prefer a business career to my attentions?
You really want to know?
No, I don't.
Don't be such a drip, Bud. Father, I think that's a super idea. Every woman wants to be swept off her feet by a handsome escort, to be lifted to the skies by whispered sweet nothings.
Well, anyway, I'm quite certain your mother will respond when I start showing her some of my old charm. She'll forget all about this career nonsense.
Shh, everybody. Here she comes.
Hello, dear. Children, sorry to have kept you waiting so long.
Well, honey, you've always looked well in gold, but I never knew it could make you look so radiant.
Oh. Holy cow.
Bud.
Mother, that's an utterly dreamy outfit. Wherever did you find it?
Oh, it's just an old dress I had. But I took off all the trimmings, altered it here and there, and changed the neckline.
Didn't you, though?
Gee, Mommy, you look like Ava Gardner. Don't you think so, Daddy?
She always has been beautiful to me.
Why, dear, what a lovely thing to say.
And speaking of lovely things, may I present you with roses, Madame? For the most beautiful rose of all.
Oh, Jim, dear.
Golly, to think my own mother and father could be so thrillingly exotic. Oh, it's just too dreamy for words.
Well, Bud, you're the only one who hasn't commented on your mother's loveliness.
I'm hungry.
Leave it to Bud to bring us down to earth.
Well, shall we all go into dinner and feed the inner man?
Now you're making sense.
Dinner is just about ready, dear, and Betty knows how to go about the finishing touches.
Betty? Mm. Aren't you going to eat with us? Oh, but of course, I see. It's high time the children took over some of your chores and lightened your load a little. I heartily approve.
That's good, dear. Then I'll be running along now. I'm a little late.
Late? For what?
It doesn't matter. It was worth it to hear all the nice things you said.
Margaret, what is this? Aren't you going to have dinner with us?
Why, no, dear. Didn't I tell you? Oh, I'm so absent-minded these days. No, I won't be having dinner here tonight.
But my roses...
I'm terribly sorry. I'd cancel this appointment if I could. But you see, I have to make a speech tonight.
Speech? You?
Yes. I speak English quite well. I'm going to address the Professional Women's Club on careers for married women.
Oh, is that where you're going?
Yes, dear. I told you about it 2 weeks ago, remember?
Yes, but you said your speech would be against...
Don't forget to put the potatoes on, Betty.
Mother, could I speak to you privately for a minute?
Why all the secrecy?
You wouldn't understand. This is between us women.
What women? I'm beginning to feel like a sorority sister.
Goodbye, everyone. Kathy, be a good girl now. Goodbye, Bud.
Dad, are you sure you understand, Mom?
I'm not sure of anything right now.
Goodbye, dear. I won't be long, and I'll tell you all about it when I get back.
Well, thank you very much. But don't ask me why.
Mother, you're a big faker.
Why, Betty?
You're still going to make that speech against careers for married women, aren't you?
Of course I am.
And you're just letting Father think you're in favor of married women working to teach him a lesson, because he got so completely stuffy about a woman's place in the home, aren't you?
You're growing up fast, dear.
Mother, you're simply devastating, and I love you lots.
Thank you, dear. Goodbye now. See you soon.
Goodbye, you career woman, you.
She said she wouldn't be gone long, and here it is 2.5 hours. Why, for all we know, she may be wandering around somewhere with amnesia.
Who's he?
Oh, Father, how corn-fed can you be?
Well, I don't care. Just isn't like your mother to be late. It just isn't like her.
What is like her these days?
What Mother's doing is admirable.
Admirable? I don't quite go along with her walking out and leaving us and making a speech to get other married women to have a career.
She didn't leave you, and she isn't telling them to go to work. She's against it. Oh. Oh, dear.
What was that, Princess?
Nothing. Nothing at all. I didn't say anything, Father.
You sure said a lot for somebody who didn't say anything.
I don't know what you're talking about, I'm sure.
Princess.
Oh, golly, Father. You might as well know.
Yes, especially since I'm going to find out anyway.
Mother wanted to teach you a lesson. You deserved it, too, the way you talked to her. So she didn't let you know her research work was for a speech against careers for married women.
What? You mean your mother would pull a trick like that on me?
It's your own fault. She tried to explain, but every time she opened her mouth, you put your foot in it.
Oh, brother. Me and my big fat foot.
You mean Mommy isn't going to look for a job after all?
She never intended to. But if any of you let her know that I told you, I'll positively destroy you.
Aw, turn blue.
Wait a minute, kids. I've got an idea.
I'm glad somebody has. I'm lost.
Well, let's be reasonable about this. In a way, your mother is right. We never did give her a chance to explain. And, well, we have sort of been taking her for granted.
You mean we haven't been treating her right?
Oh, we've been just like any other average family. Sort of forgetting all the good things she does for us and not doing anything for her.
Gee, Dad, have we been like that?
In a way, I guess we have.
What do you think we ought to do, Father?
Let's go along with her little act. Let her think we believe she's going to work. When she gets home, let's all be just as unhappy as we were before we knew this. And you leave the rest to me.
Oh, gee, this is going to be keen. I always wanted to act. Can I cry, Daddy?
Well, maybe a little. On second thought, why don't you just forget it, kitten? Now, are we all set? Any questions?
When do we eat?
Tomorrow morning at breakfast. Quiet, everyone. Here she is now. Remember, look miserable.
That won't be hard. I'm not happy.
Happy inside, I know. But try to bear up like a man.
Hello? Jim? Children? Oh, there you are. Hello, everybody. Oh, I've had such a very enjoyable evening. And you know, I almost think I was successful. It was a simply wonderful evening. Well, it was up to now.
Ah! Oh, Mommy, it wasn't any fun at all without you here.
Ah! Take it easy, kitten.
Why, Angel, did you miss me that much?
Betty doesn't cook as many potatoes as you do.
Now, Bud, I'm sure Betty gave you a fine meal. She's an excellent cook.
We ran out of everything after the third helping.
I think you'll survive, Bud. We had a pleasant evening, Margaret. Quiet, but pleasant.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Of course, it was terribly lonely. But then we had a long talk, the children and I, and we've decided that you're right.
You have?
Yes, Margaret. We realize now how much this means to you, and even though we'll suffer horribly, we'll sit back, uncomplaining, and watch you startle the world with your charm and brilliance.
Oh, dear. Jim, children, I have a confession.
If there are any confessions, we'll make them. We realize now, Margaret, we've been mistreating you.
Mistreating me?
We've been hiding your light under a bushel.
Dad.
Even though it means the destruction of the great harmony in our family, we'll stand by, Margaret, and see you through.
Dad.
We wouldn't think of letting our love become a burden on you.
Dad.
What is it, son?
Let's not get sickening about it.
Gee, I thought he was doing swell. Go on, Daddy, it's better than a movie.
Please, children, you must realize the gravity of this situation. I know you love your mother, and it goes without saying that I am devoted to her. But she is entitled to a life of her own, no matter how much it hurts us.
But, dear, you know I wouldn't think of spoiling our family life.
Well, not intentionally, of course.
Not anyway. Listen to me, all of you. I never, never intend to have a business career. I just pretended I was because, well, you goaded me into it, that's why.
But, Margaret, how can you say that when you made a speech tonight favoring careers for married women?
Mrs. Stuyvesant favored careers. I said that a married woman should avoid a career if possible. To me, there is no finer job than taking care of my family and my home.
Margaret, you really mean that?
With all my heart.
Did you hear that, Princess? Kitten? Bud? Your mother wasn't your mother for a while, but now your mother is your mother again.
Come again?
Welcome home, Mommy.
Angel, I never left you.
For goodness sake, eat Post Bran Flakes. So good and so good for you.
Like that little melody? It's a good tune to remember when you're shopping this weekend because it reminds you that new Post 40% Bran Flakes are good and so good for you. Yes, they're good because something wonderful has happened to Bran. You see, new Post 40% Bran Flakes now have a delicious magic oven flavor, a new crisp texture that many people prefer to any other cereal. And new Post 40% Bran Flakes are good for you because they contain the important keep regular benefits that Bran is known for. So tomorrow, buy new Post 40% Bran Flakes, America's largest selling Bran Flakes. I think you'll agree, they're good and good for you.
Well, peace and serenity reign again in the white frame house on Maple Street. It's late now, and in the upstairs hall, Betty is saying,
Mother, I've been trying to get a chance to talk to you all evening.
Whatever for, dear?
Well, I think it's only fair to tell you. Father found out about your speech before you came home, and he was just putting on an act.
Oh, Betty, you didn't tell him.
I didn't mean to. It just slipped out.
I thought he was a little on the dramatic side. All right, don't worry about it. I think I'll go in and have a slight talk with your father. Good night, dear.
Good night, Mother.
Asleep, Jim?
Not quite.
I just wanted to say, you were wonderfully understanding about this whole thing.
Oh, it's nothing. But I must say, you certainly did a fine job of acting. Had me fooled completely.
You know, I was wondering about that. Just think, Jim. A career as an actress. I wonder if I shouldn't go in for dramatics.
Oh, no.
Well, why don't we discuss it thoroughly tomorrow? Good night, dear.
Margaret?
Yes, dear?
I don't think I'm happy inside.
Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson. Until then, good night and good luck from the makers of Post 40% Bran Flakes, America's largest selling Bran Flakes. And Instant Postum, the drink that's entirely caffeine-free. In our cast were Gene Vanderpyle as Margaret, Rhoda Williams, Ted Donaldson, and Norma Jean Nilsen.
It comes in a red, white, and blue box. What is it?
Hot Post Wheat Meal!
It has the picture of Roy Rogers on the package. What is it?
Hot Post Wheat Meal!
It's packed full of whole wheat nourishment. What is it?
Hot Post Wheat Meal!
It has a rich, delicious, nut-like flavor. What is it?
Hot Post Wheat Meal! him.
Cooks in just 3 minutes. Another member of the famous Post family. What is it?
Hot Post wheat meal.
It's the best hot cereal you ever ate.
Hot Post wheat meal.
Father Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Paul West and Dina Fields. This is Bill Foreman speaking.
Tonight, hear Counter Spy on NBC.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have another episode of Father Knows Best. When the parents can't think of the name of someone they know, a kitchen convention ensues. Enjoy Father Knows Best, Remembering Names, first broadcast September 10th, 1953 on NBC.
Now listen to Father Knows Best, transcribed starring Robert Young as Father. Welcome to Springfield and another half-hour visit with the folks in the white frame house on Maple Street. Sit back and enjoy life with the Andersons, Kathy, Bud, Betty, Margaret, and Jim, as the head of this typical American household again sets out to prove that Father knows best. We'll join the Andersons in just a moment. You've probably heard it said that the Series E United States Savings Bond has been improved. You probably know that it pays back more money in less time than ever before. Now, I'd like to tell you how these improvements benefit you. Say you buy a $1,000 bond. Actually, you know, you only pay $750 for it. Formerly, that bond would mature in 10 years. But now, the improved Series E bond matures in 9 years and 8 months. And it pays you $4 for every $3 you invest. Also, you can hold the improved Series E savings bond beyond maturity and earn even further interest. 3% interest compounded semi-annually for as long as 10 additional years. At that time, your original investment of $750 is worth well over $1,300. That's an 80% return on your original investment. You'll feel more secure tomorrow if you buy improved Series E savings bonds today. They say curiosity once killed a cat, a fate that's both proper and fitting. So why not give thanks for the good fortune that lets you pry yet not die like a kitten? The point we're trying to make is that curiosity is not confined to cats. It's a human frailty as well. And when it comes to frailties, well, we doubt that you'll find anyone quite as human or frail as our dear friends in Springfield, the Andersons. Like this.
Margaret, may I say that in my long years as a lover of good red beef, never has a more succulent morsel passed my lips.
Well, thank you, dear.
What'd he say?
He liked the roast beef.
Oh.
And now, as a fitting climax to an unforgettable repast, may I be favored with that delicious Napoleon?
Of course, dear.
But...
he wants his dessert.
Oh.
There you are.
Thank you. From the bottom of a happy and carefree heart, I say thank you.
What's the matter with him?
He sold a big policy this afternoon.
Oh.
Robert Wagner. What was that, dear?
Janie said it was Robert Wagner, as if she knew.
Realizing full well that I ought to have my brains examined, still I ask, what about Robert Wagner?
There isn't any reason at all for thinking that's who she meant.
Who meant?
Luella Parsons.
Betty...
just a moment, dear. These things must be approached delicately. We've got to sneak up on them or they fly away. Tell me, Betty, how's everything down around the gasworks?
Father, Janie Liggett said that Luella Parsons meant Robert Wagner in her column, and it's just ridiculous. He never even goes to places like that.
Now, there you are, Margaret. You see, everything's all cleared up.
That's nice.
May I have the cream and sugar, please?
Here you are, Dad.
Thank you.
All right, Kathy, now let's not dawdle. Mommy and Daddy are in a hurry.
Yes, Mommy. Oh, why do they do things like that?
Like what, dear?
Put things like that in the paper.
Well, I tried it once and it didn't hurt much. All right, Betty, what do they put in the paper?
Things like this. Here, I cut it out.
What young and handsome star was seen leaving what Sunset Strip nightclub with what blonde young starlet?
Isn't that exasperating?
Is that the whole thing?
Yes, and Janie has the nerve to say it's Robert Wagner.
She does?
She certainly does. Isn't that stupid?
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Why, anyone with half an eye can see they mean Lassie.
Father.
Well, look at it. Blonde, young. Oh, you mean the boy.
Father, it isn't funny.
No?
No, and I don't think you have any right to laugh at me.
Your father wasn't laughing at you, dear.
He certainly was.
Now, wait a minute. Do you mean you're going to let a little thing like this upset you?
It isn't a little thing. How would you feel if you didn't know who it was?
I think I'd pull through somehow.
At least they ought to give you a hint.
Dad.
Just a minute, Bud. Betty, let's say you do figure out who they mean. Then what?
Well, then I'll know.
You know what they say about curiosity? It killed a cat. And this whole thing is nothing but a silly attempt to satisfy your morbid curiosity.
I have to know things, don't I?
Now, things like who came out of where with what. That's being curious about the most meaningless sort of trivia.
What's trivia?
I wouldn't care if it were something important, but how can you sit there and make yourself miserable about something that doesn't amount to a row of beans in the first place?
Daddy.
What is it, Kathy?
What's trivia?
Well, trivia are things that are, trivial. They're unimportant.
Why?
Because they don't amount to anything. Like this whole conversation.
Attaboy, Dad.
Bud.
I was agreeing with him.
Farley Granger. I'll bet that's who it was.
Betty.
He's young and goes out
Betty.
With... Yes, Father?
I don't care if it's Groucho Marx on a white horse. Forget about it.
But I only
said... I said forget about it.
Jumping creepers.
Daddy, what?
And I don't want any trouble with you, either.
But I have to ask you something.
Jim, I don't think you're being very nice.
Nice? How can anybody be nice when he's being smothered in quiz kids?
Just because the children ask a few innocent questions...
Honey, they don't do anything but ask questions. From the time they get up in the morning until they go to bed at night. Who's on first, what's on which? It's enough to make a man commit harakiri.
What's harakiri?
Now look, Kathy.
Leave your father alone, dear. He's in one of those moods.
One of what moods? I was in a wonderful mood. Wasn't I, Bud?
Well...
I was so full of roast beef, I loved everybody in the whole world. The milk of human kindness was practically oozing out of me. Wasn't it, Bud? I want an encyclopedia with ears.
You bet, Dad.
What?
What you said. Yes, sir.
Rock Hudson, that's who it was.
Margaret, I think I'll go for a walk. A long walk.
All right, dear. And if you happen to pass the Liggett, be sure to drop in.
The Liggetts?
We're going to their party. Remember?
Oh, say, we'd better hurry up.
You didn't tell me what harakiri was.
You mean Harry Carey.
She means harakiri.
She does?
She most certainly does.
See? Daddy.
Yes, Kathy?
What is it?
Margaret, do all children ask as many questions as ours? How do you stand it?
Oh, mothers have a system. When they reach a point just 1 degree short of hysterics, they go shopping.
Well, I suppose that's as good an excuse as any.
Jim, I'm so glad you mentioned it.
Mentioned what?
Shopping.
I mentioned shopping?
You'll never guess who I met downtown this afternoon.
Robert Wagner.
No.
The Wella Parsons?
Jim.
Am I close?
Do you remember the two boys who had the cabin next to ours at Round Lake 2 summers ago?
Yes.
I met the tall one.
You did?
Uh-huh.
What's he doing in Springfield?
Well, he said that the other one... Oh, what was his name?
Freddie something.
No, it wasn't Freddie.
Well, something like Freddie.
Well, it isn't important.
Eddie?
No, anyway.
Wait a minute, Margaret. I've got the name on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, let me see it.
I know his name as well as I know my own. Eddie, Teddy...
Betty.
Margaret, please. Oh.
Betty, you remember the two boys who had the cabin next to ours?
I do.
Are you sure it wasn't Freddy?
Yes, dear, I'm sure.
I can see him just as plain, sort of chunky with dark hair. Hector Smith and I ran into him during the World Series in Cleveland that year.
That's the one.
Who is pitching?
Bud.
Well, I just wanted to know.
You see, that's what I mean by curiosity. While I'm trying to figure out something vitally important...
Ha!
What was that?
Why is it important for you and not for us?
Because you don't even remember the man.
What man?
Freddy.
His name wasn't Freddy, dear.
Well, it was something like Freddy.
Was it Bobby Feller?
No.
He pitched the first game.
Now, look,
Maybe
Bud.
It was Roy Rogers.
Who was?
I don't know.
Margaret, why is it that any time I try to... Bernie.
What, dear?
Wasn't it Bernie?
I don't think so.
Bernie, Cerny, Derny...
Only gave up two hits in the whole game.
Bud, please.
And he lost anyway.
Now, look, Bud.
Jim, it isn't that important.
It certainly is. I was just about to say the name, and he drove it clear out of my mind with that ridiculous prattle about a silly baseball game.
Silly?
Bud.
That was one of the finest games they ever had in a World Series. Only six hits in the whole game.
Lerny, Murny, Nerny.
Jim.
How would you like to give up two hits and then lose the game 1-0?
Bud, will you please stop it and let me think?
Jim, we've got to get ready to go.
Where?
To the Liggett. Or would you rather stay home?
Oh, no. You, don't worry about me. I'll be ready to leave any time you are.
If a thing like that happened to me, I'd shoot myself.
If you keep this up, you won't have to.
When I want to know something, it's morbid curiosity. But when he wants...
Betty, I think you'd better start clearing the table.
But Father said...
Kenny, that was it.
All right, Betty, go ahead.
No, it wasn't Kenny.
Penny?
No.
Jumping creepers.
No.
Was he a southpaw?
Who?
The pitcher.
Bud, for the last time...
What's a southpaw?
Isn't this awful? I can see him as though he were standing right in front of me.
He's left-handed.
Who is?
A southpaw.
Who said anything about a southpaw?
Kathy did.
No, I didn't. I asked what it was.
Well, I told you. Southpaw is left-handed.
Why?
Margaret.
I'm going upstairs and comb my hair.
Hector, he'll know.
Jim, you're not going to call Hector.
Why not? It'll only take me a minute.
Curiosity killed a cat.
Betty, please.
Curiosity has nothing to do with it. I just feel like calling Hector, that's all.
Why?
Because he's one of my best friends, that's why.
But, dear, you're going to see him in the morning.
Well, I want to find out about my hammer. That's what I want to find out. He borrowed it last week.
He brought it back yesterday.
Nobody asked you.
Well, I was just tired.
Wait a minute. I've got it.
Jim.
I've got it, Margaret. It was Ernie Franklin.
Of course, Ernie Franklin.
Yeah.
Well, thank goodness for that.
You see, I knew if you'd just leave me alone for a minute. What did he have to say?
Who, dear?
Ernie Franklin.
I didn't meet Ernie Franklin.
You most certainly did. You said you met him downtown today while you were shopping.
No, dear, don't you remember? I told you I met the other boy.
Oh, no.
Well, when it comes to names, Father can't boast of the world's best memory. But when it comes to the really important things, Father always remembers that having your fortune told can be a lot of fun, especially if wonderful things are predicted for your future. But what a pity, there's no guarantee they'll come true. Now, I can make a prediction about your financial future that will come true. I predict that you're going to get extra dollars to spend in less than 10 years. Just by investing today in United States savings bonds. That prediction is absolutely guaranteed. Because for every $3 you put in, you'll get back $4 when your savings bonds mature. And I can predict even more money in your future. Because when you hold your savings bonds beyond maturity, you'll earn still further interest. The improved rate of 3% interest, compounded semi-annually, continues for as long as 10 years beyond the maturity date of your bond. Finally, I predict you'll feel more secure tomorrow if you buy United States Savings Bonds today. Why don't you? I guarantee every prediction I've made for you will come true. It's after midnight in Springfield, and but one small light blinks its cheer from the white frame house on Maple Street. That's in the master bedroom where the master, if we may speak loosely, is still giving his problem the old college try. Like this.
Bill Stewart. Phil Stewart. Bill Phillips. Phil Billups.
Jim.
Jim Phillips.
Jim.
What? Oh.
You realize, of course, the Liggetts will probably never speak to us again?
Why? I didn't do anything to them.
You sat in a corner and mumbled to yourself all night.
Well, I wasn't hurting anybody.
And every 5 minutes you ran to the telephone.
I was only trying to get Hector, you know that. He certainly picked a fine evening to go out.
So did we. Jim, where are you going?
I'm going to call Heck. That's where I'm going.
But you can't. It's 2:00 in the morning.
I'll be right back, honey. You call a doctor at 2:00 in the morning. Why can't you call a friend? Friend. Fine friend he turned out to be. Introduces you to people, then you can't remember their names. Ruins a perfectly good evening just because he hasn't got sense enough to stay home when you need him. Now, what happened to the light switch? Oh. Every time you want the darn thing, it's someplace else. Anyway, 2:00 isn't so late. Lots of people stay up until 2:00. Probably isn't even in bed yet. I hope.
Hello?
Hello, Heck.
Hello.
Heck, this is Jim Anderson.
Isn't here.
No, Heck, this is Jim. Did I wake you up?
Who is this?
It's Jim. Jim Anderson.
Oh, hello, Jim. What's the matter?
Heck, do you remember those two friends of yours who had the cottage next to us at Round Lake?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Well, what were their names?
Who?
Those friends of yours who had the cottage next to ours.
What about them?
Margaret met the tall one downtown this morning, and we can't remember his name.
I don't know, Elizabeth. It's holy jumping catfish.
What's the matter?
It's after 2:00.
I know, Heck, but look, it began with a B, and if you'll just
tell... Do you mean to say you woke me up at 2:00 in the morning to ask me a guy's name?
Jim.
I'll be through in a minute, honey. Heck, I know it sounds crazy.
Sounds crazy? It is crazy. You're nuts.
Heck, you've got to help me. It's driving me out of my mind.
2:00 in the morning.
Heck, listen to me a minute. Hello? Heck? Well, that's fine. Just fine.
What did Hector say, dear?
He hung up on me.
No.
Just hung up.
Well, we might as well face it. Calling people at 2:00 in the morning isn't exactly the way to endear yourself to your fellow man.
Okay, if that's the way he feels about it. Just wait until he wants something.
Now what are you going to do?
Well, you know what they say. When all the world's agin you and you haven't got a friend, there's only one thing you can do to bring a happy end. Go make yourself a sandwich.
Who said that?
I did.
Jim, if you eat anything now, you'll be up all night.
I'll be up all night anyway. What's in the icebox?
Oh, the usual things. 6 pairs of roller skates, 12 pairs of galoshes.
Very funny. You're so cute.
Well, what do we generally have in the icebox?
Ice. Well, what do you know? Food. Let's see now, cold ham.
Jim, will you please leave that alone?
But I just want to...
That's tomorrow night's dinner. Now, just sit down and I'll fix the sandwich for you.
What kind?
Oh, I'll think of something. Here we are. How about a nice melted cheese? The kind we used to make up at the lake.
Oh, Margaret.
Why, Jim, you've always liked melted cheese.
That isn't what I mean. Why did you have to mention the lake?
What?
I'd almost forgotten about the name, and now, well, now you've started it all over again.
All I said was that I'd make a melted cheese sandwich.
Did somebody call me?
Bud.
Well, if it isn't the boy with the built-in tapeworm.
Hi, Dad.
Why aren't you in bed?
I heard somebody open the icebox.
You know, Margaret, I think he must be part bloodhound.
Bud Anderson, you go right back to bed where you belong.
Can I even have one sandwich?
Not even half a sandwich. You march right upstairs.
Just a second, honey. Let's not be hasty about this. After all, he's a growing boy, and he hasn't had anything to eat since 7 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
What?
This is my second trip.
Okay, Bud, you heard your mother. Up to bed.
But I hardly ate anything last time, and I'm a growing boy.
I said up to bed.
Mother!
Oh, dear. We're in the kitchen, Betty.
Say, I wonder if Ed Davis would remember. He was up at the lake that summer, and he...
Jim, don't you dare call the Davises.
But if he knows the name...
Haven't you thought of the name yet?
Never mind, Bud.
I thought of the pitcher.
Fine.
You saw the second game.
Bud.
It was Bob Lemon.
Mother! Kitchen, why don't we call the... Oh.
Hello, Betty. Pull up a chair.
No wonder there's never anything in the icebox. Nobody ever goes to sleep.
What's going on down here?
Nothing is going on down here. We're all going right back to bed.
Well, wait a minute, Margaret. As long as we're up, we might as well have a sandwich or something.
Jim Anderson, how do you expect...
Honey, you don't seem to understand. I'm hungry.
Didn't the Liggett serve anything?
Oh, yes. But not to your father.
Margaret.
He was busy in a corner, communing with the spirits.
What?
I sat there very quietly. I didn't disturb a soul. But just because I didn't put on a lady's hat and dance around with my pants rolled up...
Jim.
Well, that's what Paul Hersey was doing, and everybody thought it was very funny.
Mother, he didn't.
Well, it was just...
Daddy!
Oh, creepers, I forgot all about Kathy.
Jim, do you see what you've done? You've got the whole family up.
I didn't wake anybody. All I did was make a phone call.
Betty! It's all right, Kathy!
Betty, you'll wake everybody in the neighborhood.
Was it burglars?
No, it was Father.
Gee whiz!
I've had just about enough of this. Bud, put the cheese back in the... Bud.
Hmm?
What happened to the cheese?
What cheese?
I had a whole slab of cheese on the table. Oh, Bud.
Gosh, I was just sort of nibbling and I... Was it a whole slab?
Well, I guess that takes care of that. Go ahead, Bud.
What?
Up to bed.
I thought we were going to have a sandwich.
Betty, now what are you doing?
Getting some milk.
Say, that's an idea.
Bud.
Oh, let them have their milk, dear. Are you coming upstairs?
Well, I...
Did you want something, Dad?
Yes. Turn off the lights when you run out of food.
And don't you dare touch that ham.
Okay, Mom. Good night.
We'll be up in a few minutes, Mother.
All right, dear. Good night.
Good night.
You know, Margaret, it's a funny thing. Every time I try to get into the icebox, something happens.
Oh, I don't know. You've had your moments.
Meaning what?
Well, I remember a certain leg of lamb.
Oh, honey, that was 12 years ago.
I know, but...
I suppose 12 years from now, you'll still be telling me about that same dizzy leg of lamb.
Oh, go to sleep, Kathleen.
Are you sure it wasn't burglars?
We're quite sure, kitten. Now stop worrying about it.
Betty said it was burglars.
We'll tell you all about it in the morning.
And go to sleep.
Okay. Good night.
Good night, Angel.
Good night, Kathy.
Oh, dear, what a night.
What a night is right. I'm glad it's almost over.
Well, at least you've stopped thinking about that silly name. Oh, I am sorry, dear.
Margaret.
Yes, Jim.
You know that cat?
Cat?
The one that was killed by curiosity.
Oh, that one.
What do you suppose did it?
I don't know, dear.
Maybe the name of another cat it met up at Round Lake, huh?
Jim, you've got to be sensible. You can't keep this up the rest of the night.
I can't, huh?
You certainly can't. Do you realize that in less than 4 hours it'll be daylight?
What was that?
I said...
That's it! That's the name!
What is...
Daylight! I mean, Jack Daly. That's who it was.
Well, thank goodness.
That's the fellow you met, isn't it?
Yes, dear. Jack Daly.
Well.
Now, will you please turn out the light and come to bed?
Oh, no, not yet. You haven't finished. What did he want?
Who, dear?
Jack Daly.
Oh, I thought I told you. He just said to say hello.
Good night, dear.
Good night, dear.
The Andersons will be right back. But speaking of another family, have you heard about the Joneses? They're going to Europe for 6 weeks. They'll start in England, then visit Holland, Belgium, France, and Italy. It'll be a wonderful trip. A lifelong dream come true. You probably think Mr. Jones got a fancy raise. Well, he didn't. And nobody left him a fortune either. Then how can he afford a trip to Europe? That's simple. He and Mrs. Jones planned for it. They save money regularly through United States savings bonds. Yes, the Joneses are going to Europe now, but someday it can be your turn. Do as they did. Put your money where it'll earn you extra money. $4 for every $3 you invest in United States savings bonds. And listen, now the maturity date of the bonds has been shortened and you get your money back with interest in less than 10 years. Start planning today. Your United States savings bonds can take you to Europe, too. It's been quite a night for the Andersons, one they'll long remember. Now the house is dark, the night is still. But it isn't over. No, sir. Not by a long shot. Like this.
Jim. Jim.
What? Who? What's the matter?
The telephone's ringing.
Good.
Jim, will you please answer the phone?
Okay. Hello?
Dad, the phone's ringing.
Father?
Hello?
Jim, please go downstairs and answer the phone.
Okay, honey. What time is it?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock? Ye gods and little fishes. What kind of an idiot would call us at 4 o'clock in the morning?
I don't know, dear. But please put on your robe, Jim. You'll catch your death, of course.
I'll be all right. 4 o'clock. This is somebody's idea of a joke. Wake people up in the middle of the night, not have their brains examined. Spend the whole night trying to fall asleep, and then the phone has to ring. All right, I'm coming. Hello.
Hello, Jim. This is Heck.
Oh, now look, Heck.
Jim, are you sure it began with a B?
Oh, no.
Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson. In our cast were Ted Donaldson as Bud, Gene Vanderpile, Helen Strom, Rhoda Williams, Herb Vigran, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. Father Knows Best was an NBC Radio Network production, written by Ed James, directed by Max Utto, and transcribed in Hollywood.
I'd like to take a moment here to remind you about some of the excellent entertainment that's yours for the listening each Friday on NBC Radio. There's the compact, pleasant quarter hour featuring Eddie Fisher with the music you asked to hear, and the equally popular Rosemary Clooney Show featuring 15 minutes of sentimental song stylings brought to you by one of America's most popular young singers. Be sure to include the program of both Eddie Fisher and Rosemary Clooney in your Friday night listening schedule. Also on Friday nights, over many NBC radio stations, listen to The Baron and the Bee, featuring your all-time favorite Jack Pearl as Baron Munchausen. And tonight, listen to the adventures of Counter Spy on NBC.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.